Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Meltdown. Harmontown is once again in session. You lucky little devils. Won't you welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon. Dan Harmon!
Woo! Whoa! Thank you. Where do we start?
Dan, where's your belt?
I forgot to wear a belt because I've been off my diet for so long. The Easter thing, and I don't know, there was some point where Aaron and I slipped off of the wagon, allowed ourselves to just start. I've been cheating on my diet, quote-unquote, for multiple days into weeks, and this morning I put on a pair of pants, and I was like, I don't need a belt.
That bowl of Cheetos last night was your belt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, belts are for closers. And but I forgot that jeans kind of, they expand over time, you know, as you, so if I dance too much, these will come right around my ankles.
Well, then we must enforce that then.
No. Okay.
and your little chicken dance is perfectly designed to make
But my underwear are also down around my ass. So these guys got an eye load.
Come on. Let's bring them down. Whoa. Wow. It's
just... Fuck the Queen!
Wow. You mean the Prime Minister. Margaret Thatcher died.
Did she? You know who else?
Don't say, aw, you don't give a fuck about Margaret Thatcher. Aw. No, you should care about Annette Funicello. She died. Now say, aw. Yeah, Margaret Thatcher, boo. Oh, and no, don't boo a stroke. A stroke is a bummer.
Roger Ebert died.
Hey!
A guy who only got more and more awesome as he got older.
He did, yeah.
And so on one hand, it was like mission accomplished. Like, he really knocked it out of the park in terms of... being a guy, I'm out of breath from making my pants fall down. This milestones. This is a show about milestones. I want to. That's good. That's what how I feel about Roger Ebert. Like we kind of got to watch him die, and he made that. He made no bones about that, and kind of made it very enjoyable. He owned up to his role as a curmudgeon. As he got older and older, he became more and more of an expert in what he was talking about, and he. Like got more and more bored with unremarkability and really, but stayed a civic minded, like progressive, interesting essayist. And I was constantly reading and filling his brain with stuff and filtering it and giving it out to people, like totally seamlessly adapted his role from a Chicago Sun-Times movie reviewer to an online presence. And, you know, was more facile than most 25-year-olds in terms of like being out there and online. And then he died. And he kind of wrote a thing saying, I got cancer in my leg or whatever, and I'll see you guys in a I'm gonna hang back for a second, and I'll see you guys in a couple days, and then he died. Sad. I don't know. It's a bummer. It's weird because there's a million people die every day, like and horribly, like by machete, like that are totally undeserving, like horrible unjust deaths happen. But then it's like, oh, Billy Crystal, wah, wah. Like we kind of, oh, look back on the life of a clown. It's like kind of dumb because it's like, well, fuck it, he died rich. Billy Crystal didn't die. Nobody. But I think it's just because we do, you know, celebrities spend their lives kind of as an antenna and a frame drawing our attention. We get to talk about them. If you're a celebrity that's famous for being a slut, we get to talk about sluttiness. Oh, that slut, that famous slut. You know, it's like a tarot card, an archetype. If you're famous for being funny, or you're famous for, and they tell little stories. Oh, this guy was famous for being rich, and then he's famous for being poor. He's famous for fucking a dog, and like I don't know, like they're non-people, they're ghosts. And then when they die, we go, oh, he died. Aw, it's kind of weird because we don't go, you know, Lebanon is on fire. Aw, we don't do that.
It's like when Patrick Swayze died. That was a bummer.
Oh man, holy shit! Good segue, buddy. From death to Roadhouse. Our assigned movie was Roadhouse. Yeah, I mean,
anybody watch Roadhouse this week? Well done.
Well, you know my rule, Jeff, when doing a show.
Yeah?
Be nice.
Until?
It's time not to be nice.
It's time to be not nice? How do they word that? It doesn't come off right. Roadhouse. Be nice. Until it's time.
Roadhouse, which I've never seen, is one of the few. It's crazy. It's weird that it slipped through my cracks, but... I think the reason it did is the same reason it's so fascinating. There's still a couple Beavises and Buttheads chuckling at slipping through my cracks. Get a hold of yourselves. I tried to push past it. You guys gotta help me out. The show will be 3 hours long. It's a show that kind of falls between the quantum definitions of a lot of the things that we use to define a movie. Like, is it a good movie or a bad movie? Is it an action movie or a drama? It's very odd. The only thing you know for sure is it's a vehicle for this debonair young starlet, Patrick.
Starlet.
What's his name? Swayze.
Yeah, he's a star.
well, I mean, it's a very, like, one of
his hair says starlet, but his muscles say star.
One of the things that's very charming about it is it has this very, very kind of uplifting message to it. Like, he's a guy that likes to be nice, as he says. Like, it's also, like, as a 21st century progressive, like, you have to be behind the movie because it's the gayest movie you've ever seen. Like, but it's kind of like dishonestly gay, I guess, because it's like sort of saying, like, this is a very manly movie. It's not a gay movie at all. So is that a crime or is that actually a heroic movie?
I don't know. It's kind of motific. Like in 80s films, like Top Gun is notoriously really fruity. Like,
yeah. I mean, the manliest stuff back then, yeah, I guess.
As you said, like, who's the woman? Kelly, what's her name? Kelly Lynch. Was it Chris McKenna who said last night, yeah, she's a vestigial, or was it you? She's a vestigial female character.
She's just there to like go through the motions. It's almost like even the hair and makeup people on the set of the movie were like, well, whatever. What are we doing here? Let's talk about Patrick's peach Izod shirt, you know, and how tucked in it should be.
There is a scene when, in Roadhouse, if you guys will recall, when Patrick Swayze is doing Tai Chi. I'm assuming Tai Chi.
I wanted to talk about this.
He's certainly doing katas or whatever, and he's there along the riverbank, and he's moved in on the world's best apartment in a barn. It's a beautiful Soho loft in a barn in Kansas, so wherever they are. Or Missouri? Are they Missouri?
Kansas. Somewhere outside Kansas.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City.
That river might be the Mississippi. Between the barn and Ben Gazzara's house might be the Mississippi.
It's a metaphorical river. I mean, but I don't know what it's a metaphor for.
It's the River Jordan.
I think it's narrative laziness. It's the old man river.
Because he goes to buy an apartment, and he's driving down the road in his car, and he buys a shitty car because he doesn't want his Benz to get fucked up because he knows his car will get fucked up. And he buys a shitty car, and there's a wistful drive down a country lane, and it's just him going apartment shopping, and he goes to a barn, and it's this beautiful apartment inside with a great big window, which, of course, someone's going to go through because it's Roadhouse. Right? There's going to be a fire, and every window must get gone through. It's fenestration at all times. And across the river is Ben Gazzara's mansion, which is hilarious.
That is the weirdest thing. Like he moves in. It's like if Luke Skywalker, after Mos Eisley, if Han Solo's like, well, first things first, let's find an apartment, and they got one across from the Death Star. Like, what's that? What's that moon over there? That's no moon. That's our neighbor.
You're Death Star adjacent. And so he's doing Tai Chi, and he's well-oiled, and it's this either sunrise or sunset, but the lighting is great. And then Ben Gazzara goes by in an ATV, and he gives him a smile like, And who's the guy, who's the club owner that hires Dalton at the beginning?
I don't know who that actor is, but...
Anyone know the actor's name?
We got a, yeah.
John Locke's dad from Lost.
Wow. John Locke's dad from Lost.
John Locke's dad from Lost.
All right. Because the stakes for that guy is simply, can I have muscular men around me at all times?
He loves Patrick Swayze. He even loves some of the bad guys. He's so conflicted. And like, There's so much gay energy, but and it's not. It's proudly gay, and yet I think that in the
anytime a girl gets up on the table and starts taking her shirt off, like, hey, get down.
Yeah,
get off the table.
Like Patrick Swayze only drinks coffee, and he just doesn't do drugs. He doesn't drink, and naked women, he just shakes his head and
business.
Yeah, well,
bad business.
But also, like, I don't think he gets it. He's like, naked women, what? What will they think of next? But the scene that Jeff's describing, because I wanted to talk about this particularly. If we talk about nothing else, because you guys are, you know, majority of the audience, I want you to watch this movie and get out your little GIF programs. I want to see, somebody's going to make a GIF of this, an animated GIF of the part of Roadhouse where Patrick Swayze is doing Tai Chi in the morning on the bank of the river that lies betwixt him and the villain. And then it cuts to... It's just a lot of coverage of Patrick Swayze doing Tai Chi. And then the villain is out drinking like mimosas or something and is watching him. And the expression on his face is just like, huh.
Yeah.
I'll be
darned. Oh, that's right. When he's doing Tai Chi, he's on the veranda watching him. And he's been watching when they're fucking, when he's fucking Kelly Lynch, that's when he's on the ATV and he sees them, he pulls up and he's watching them fuck. Right?
Right. Well, it's the other way around.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tai Chi, he's on the ATV.
Yes.
And when they're fucking, he's on the veranda.
Okay, so the bad guy's doing a drive-by on his four-wheeler and is watching his nemesis do Tai Chi with his shirt off.
One thing for certain, anytime Patrick Swayze takes his shirt off, there's a guy regarding him.
Two guys in this case. Then it cuts to his landlord, and it becomes like a hee-haw sketch. Where his landlord is like watching him going, huh, I'll be darned. Like it's so weird and joyful. Like it's a very... It's got a very joyful energy. It reminds me a lot of Xanadu, and that you can't... Like, what genre of movie is this? All you really know is that someone, somewhere along this weird pipeline, was having so much fun that it almost didn't get contaminated by the entire movie-making process. But of course, story structure, character arcs, logic, all none of that's there. But the joy is still in the final cup of what you drink. And, I mean, because this movie, from the outset, takes place in a world where bar bouncing is a high-stakes, dramatic business with all kinds of codes and counter codes and like there's it's possible to be a sellout bouncer or a bouncer with integrity and I guess in that
but then we find out very subtly and very slowly that the reason why he's all about being nice and playing by the rules is because he ripped a man's throat out.
Yeah, once.
He had killed a man by ripping his throat out, and then he does it again.
Right.
And he almost does it a third time. He does the three-finger claw thing, and he's going to rip another throat out.
There's also a Dead Poets Society moment with shotguns. It's like exactly in the third act, there's a moment where it's like identical to the end of Dead Poets Society, only instead of standing on desks, people pull out shotguns. And then, yeah, it's a weird movie that takes place in a weird world, and I more than three times called out in a falsetto voice, I'm going to die! Yeah. Which is a sign of a great movie experience.
Well, I mean, for me, for my money, I have to start with Sam Elliott, because Sam Elliott's hair in this Sam Elliott enters the movie in like an hour into the movie, or 45 minutes in. He comes in late.
Yeah.
But for my money, that's when the movie begins.
Is Jason Mekaris here?
Yeah.
Jason, can you come up for a second? Jason is a friend who came to the show tonight, and he texted me. That's a pretty hesitant applause.
Jason Mekaris, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I mention it?
Jason is a pedophile, and he wants... Why did you applaud like that? That's what their first round of applause was. Maybe he's a pedophile. We don't know. You texted me right before you came to the show. You said that for some reason you were on the set of Roadhouse.
I was. And I just wanted to mention with the gay through line thing, and you were mentioning the claw and ripping out the throat and everything, that the guy he's fighting with actually says to him, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah, that's the line. That's the line.
What's going on there? Who's that?
That's called burying the lead. Because that line happens almost on the fifth to last page.
Yeah. But I mean,
I used to fuck like guys like you in prison.
But honestly, and it's like I was like, wow, Patrick Swayze, he's a very charming guy, but he's not like, I didn't remember him as being like, you know, like we didn't go like, oh, that guy, he's. I mean, and I'm not even insinuating that Patrick Swayze, the human being, was. I don't care if he was in or out of the closet or around it or whatever. Their actors are all crazy, whatever floats their boat. They all fuck fish and children or whatever. I mean, it's an insane job. They lie for a living to themselves and to God. So the good ones are good and the bad ones are bad. And sometimes you find out, oh, he likes to put his dick in a flower. Who cares? But I'm just saying the on-screen icon that is Patrick Swayze. He was like.
Taken place because Dirty Dancing came out like right before that.
And we checked Ghost after we watched this because we were like, is this a thing? And I watched Ghost and he was like, shot very differently and acting very differently. Like Roadhouse almost seemed like he specifically to get into character. He kind of had a sort of sachet to him and maybe that's the director's fault.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I did say I was on the set. I just moved to California from Connecticut and was movie nut. And it was the first time I ever saw a set. And I was never been on a set before. And it was the Double Deuce. It was a facade, complete facade, like the front of the Double Deuce.
It's not real?
No. I had to, spoiler alert. But from behind, it's just like all boards. And from the front, it really looked like a place. And like on like a Sunday, I was there alone and just kind of like in this glory of being on a movie set. And there's like a security guard who must have been hired just to stay there 24/7. Like, yeah, kid, get out of here. And kick me out. And then we came back another night, the whole family, like my mom, dad, sister, and I, and we were kind of watching them with the lights and everything, and out comes Patrick Swayze, and I remember my mother being very disappointed that he didn't look quite like he did on screen. He was just kind of like hunched when their cameras weren't rolling, and he had a limp, because I guess he had like a horrible football injury when he was a kid or something.
Huh.
And it just affected him like all through his life.
And there's a million Swayze children, all of whom look vaguely like Patrick Swayze, and all of them are in Roadhouse, but not prominently on camera, lest you go, what the fuck's going on? Because they all look a lot like Patrick Swayze.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I thought we were joking about that.
No. There's Patrick Swayze's got a handful of brothers.
Yeah, because there's five people in that movie that look like kind of like fetal alcohol syndrome Swayze's.
Well, yeah, one of them could be his actual brother who shows up every once in a while. And you're like, oh, wait, that's not Patrick Swayze, but looks just very much like him.
Yeah. His mom, Patrick Swayze's mom, choreographed the a production of Sweet Charity that I was in Simi Valley Community Theater. Taught me to dance.
Do you remember any lyrics from one of your songs?
Here is a man with no dream and no plan till one something night I found Sweet Charity. Oh, what you've done to me. Drinking.
Forget I asked. Forget I asked.
When did comptrolling change? It became about sabotage. I thought you were really interested.
I thought you commit to it at least.
Thanks for coming up, Jason.
I'll excuse myself.
So when you say you were on the set, you just mean you actually like...
I was there watching them shoot, and they came up and were looking for extras, and they kind of pointed at my mother and said, hey, come here. And she just didn't think it was her, so she had her chance to be in the movie and blew it. Blew it. Sorry, Mom.
Where was that shot?
Valencia. Valencia.
Oh, no shit?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Jason McCarris, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. All right. Roadhouse.
I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't mean to shut you down about that.
No, it's okay, man. Just keep the show moving. That's your job, Just keep me feeling good. Keep my confidence up. That's comp trolling.
No, what about the scene when Sam Elliott starts dancing? They're out all night long, and they go to a diner.
And he starts dancing with Patrick Swayze's date.
Yeah,
his girlfriend.
And he's got his hand around her neck,
and he just keeps it. Yeah, he's like it's rampant cock blocking, like just an all out assault. He's just like whispering in her ear, and like, he says things to Patrick Swayze like, "Boy, I sure wish it." If she wasn't fucking you, I'd try everything I could to get her to fuck me.
That girl's got far entirely too many brains to have an ass like that.
It's pretty weird that he's a good guy. It's odd. I see from Twitter that I think Spencer's drunk tonight.
What?
I feel like he was tweeting.
Spencer doesn't drink, does he?
Yeah, not usually. So let's bring Spencer up, see what's going on.
Quickly, before the applause ends.
Spencer, have you been drinking?
No. Yeah, yeah.
Yes?
I have.
Wait. I thought you were a teetotaler.
What?
I thought you didn't drink.
I don't.
Did you not?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Who's on first?
Accurate.
End of bit.
We've been through this. He chooses not to drink. He knows how.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's not like he's incapable of doing it.
Because on the tour bus, on the Harmontown tour, you didn't really drink a whole lot.
I had a shot or two, yeah.
A shot, but mostly it was Diet Cokes or Mountain Dews for you.
Yeah, yeah. I love high fructose corn syrup.
So what did you have to drink tonight, Spencer?
I had 3 PBR tall boys courtesy of Pikey. The Pikey.
Fent 3 tall boys.
Is that a lot? No, that's not a lot of beer, right?
Tall boys are 16 ounce, right?
Yeah, 16. That's
and something happened out front, right? Erin said she pulled up in a cab.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, she should tell her, right? I mean, she almost died.
She almost died.
Isn't that funny? I guess it's kind of funny.
All right, let's bring Erin out and have her.
Sorry, I don't mean to sandbag you.
No,
guys.
No, it's okay.
Erin McGathy, tell the almost died story.
I don't know if I almost died. It was just weird.
Oh, you almost died.
Spencer, you're drunk.
I took a cab.
Look at that smile. Look at this guy. I've never seen you smile like this.
I've never been happy.
See, that's what happened to me, but I was like 13.
Yeah, yeah. I did a lot of things out of order.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, life is like a bingo card. Like, everybody learns different things at different times. So it's great. Spencer's finally learning that alcohol takes the pain away. It's good that you didn't learn it as a child. You'd be like me.
Did you drive here, Spencer? You live quite a ways away.
Yeah, yeah, I drove here.
So, yeah, you'll be sober by the end of the show.
Well, I hope. Yeah, I mean, I haven't done any experimental testing on the subject, but... I'd assume.
God, he's so drunk.
I'm tore up, you guys.
And it kind of looks like he's going through fake prop folders right now.
Hey, all right, tell us cab story.
So I, speaking of drinking and driving, I took a cab here, as I usually do on Monday nights, because we drink during the show and I don't want to drive. And my cab driver, thanks, guys. And my cab driver went through Independent Taxi, which is normally a great company. I guess we shouldn't say the name of the company, whatever. My cab driver wouldn't stop when we got to Sunset and Gardner, which is where...
Because he's independent.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you, fucking mainstream? I'll stop it for you. Corporate bitch.
Indie cab company. So he wouldn't stop, and I kept on saying, no, stop. And he kept on going and dropped me off. Up by the Pikey, where Spencer was standing, I was like, "Oh, my friend's there! Please stop!" Like as if that made him stop. He was like, "Well, she has a friend. I'll stop the cab here."
Now you're affecting lives. You're affecting relationships. Stop.
So he stopped the car. I ran across the street. I showed Spencer my cake, and then my cab driver immediately made a U-turn and got T-boned by a car in the intersection. And Spencer was like, you could have died.
No, well, think about it this way. Stop. No, how about you just turn around and take me back dead?
Yeah, that's funny. Like, I was going to have him turn around, and I was like,
that's
no, that's fine. I'll just, I mean, if you wouldn't have been standing
Spencer,
there.
Spencer, your alcoholism saved the day.
You may have saved my life, because I was like, oh, there's Spencer. I'll walk back with him instead of having that driver pull back around.
It was pretty real.
Yeah.
Okay, before we bring up... Actually, I want to bring up Kumail because maybe he might have something to say about this. Let's bring out Kumail Nanjiani. I don't know if Kumail has... I don't know. I want to talk about Skeletor.
Oh, yeah.
From the He-Man universe.
I've got opinions.
Skeletor, I've been researching. Because I always thought this was the case when I was a kid. I would watch it as a rerun or whatever after school. It would be like between Inspector Gadget and Mork and Mindy or something like that. And I always thought this was the case, but as a 40-year-old, I recently looked back into this. Skeletor from the He-Man universe.
Antagonist.
The antagonist, the Darth Vader of the He-Man universe. He-Man, for those of you who don't know, was the alter ego of...
Prince Adam.
Of an identical man with a shirt on named Prince Adam.
Who also had a very idiosyncratic looking... They had the same animal also.
Yeah, I mean, as if having the same head and body wasn't recognizable enough. He also accompanied the
same color.
There's
only one giant green cat in this kingdom.
Skeletor was the Darth Vader to this character in this universe. Eternia, I think was the name of the world. I always remember... Skeletor lived in, I think, in a place called Snake Mountain.
That's correct.
He was obsessed with beating He-Man.
Yep.
And He-Man's mentor, or you know,
the sorceress,
his Athena, the sorceress, who had eagle hair and a beak head or something, and she lived in a place called Castle Grayskull.
That's correct.
And Skeletor was always going on and on about how he wanted to be in Castle Grayskull.
Yep.
Which seemed appropriate. And I looked it up.
Because Snake Mountain sounds like a terrible place. Like, don't buy a house at Snake Mountain.
Skeletor used to live in Castle Grayskull, according to the mythology of the...
Wait, he couldn't pay the rent? What happened?
He got, like, evicted.
He got evicted from Castle Grayskull. You're saying this is the origin story.
He didn't get like a slip on his door.
You have to pay the rent.
But I can't pay the rent.
He used to live in Castle Grayskull.
Yeah. I guess I didn't know that. Well, speaking of like...
It's his rightful home.
Oh, he used to live there. He didn't live there with them. He lived there on his own.
It was his place.
So this is
it's a skull. It makes sense. He lived in a skull. He would drive up, and he probably left the door unlocked because he figured, who would steal this from me?
This is some Israel-Palestine shit.
Yeah, you said it, not me.
Fucking A right.
I didn't want to say it, you know, and have you jump on me.
No. I would have agreed.
This is some shit that blew my mind. And here's the other thing that blows my mind. Who used to live in Snake Mountain? I mean, there's some snake guy living in a honeycomb displacing the bee ore.
Buzz Off was his name.
Yeah, all right.
His name was Buzz Off. There was a giant bee person.
How far down what size hill does this shit roll? Come on.
The big problem I have with it is, okay, so if there's a whole race of people who are like Skeletor, why is his name Skeletor?
Well, I don't know that there's a race of people.
Well, there was one race of all people who had like mosquito faces, but you only knew one, and his name was Mosquitor. Are all the others just like Ed and Jared and stuff like that?
Did you meet all the mosquito people in the
street? You see him once, you like, it's me and it's my, all these people, and they all have mosquito faces, and he's like, I'm Mosquitor. That's Gerald. So the naming was always threw me off, even as a little kid.
Well, there's people named Manfred.
Like Man and Fred.
Yeah, right.
Well, his name is He-Man. That's the most redundant name ever.
Yeah.
He-Man really falls apart if you really look at it. It's also, that was one.
Poor Skeletor. I was browsing around and I saw like a Skeletor package that was Skeletor scuba gear. Like you could buy a special Skeletor that had like a scuba pack.
Yep.
And I just thought that was so, it made me realize like all those years, like Skeletor was the good guy. Like this guy is like, he's like, you know, going like, I'm going to get He-Man. I'm gonna go through the water and ruin his fishing trip, you know. And probably there was a fish man. There was like a merman or something that probably I can do that. And he's like, you know what? I got this. Like that's a good villain.
His name was Merman. That was a guy named Merman who lived in the. You're like amazing at this.
Thank you.
What about was Ram Man in there?
Ram Man was in there. He was a porn star.
I had the Ram Man toy. And
his legs would go. Yeah, he would like go up. Yeah.
He was a good guy, right? Yeah.
Ram-Man was a good guy.
And was it Battle Cat and Cringer?
Cringer yep. was the... I know everything about He-Man, except for the eviction
backstory. How old are you?
Backstory. I'm 33.
And were you old enough to watch the cartoons?
I watched the cartoons. That was the biggest, like, most, like, disillusioning thing was last year I found a DVD set for, like, $3. I was like, oh, my God, this cartoon. So I watched it, and I was like, oh, I must have been a dumb shit as a kid. because it's so bad. That cartoon, like some stuff holds up, but that one, they use the same animation.
Yeah,
so
it's really incomplete.
He-Man always walks like right to left and he like bounces up and down, and they like work that into like every episode multiple
times. Yeah, well, because it was such expensive looking animation. It looked almost rotoscoped. Like he would always, and then he would fight his evil twin and they would just show, they would just flip the image.
Well, what's also funny, he had an evil twin. They made a robot cyborg. His name was Fakor.
Fakor, yeah. But worst name ever.
Who looked just like He-Man, except he was blue with orange hair.
Yeah.
Like, you're not fooling anyone.
Except in a world where Prince Adam is Clark Kent. Well,
yeah, he's like, hey, I mean,
maybe
He-Man,
everyone
yeah.
in that universe is like weird, has a weird...
they all have that...
Prosopagnosia.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, if you're going through the trouble of making a fucking android to replace the main guy, make him the same hue as the main guy. Yeah. Even his hair was a different color. So many missteps.
What was Skeletor's mission? What did he want
to get his home back? And it makes me cry.
Really? That was
yeah, he wanted his home back. Yeah, he wasn't wanted, the villain.
It was the power of Grayskull, right?
His like, home! That's what the power of having a home.
But that's what they called it. It's like he wanted the power of Grayskull, but he just wanted his house back. Yeah.
His house back. The power of home.
Well, he wanted to rule all of Eternia also, which is a little... Which I'm like, I wanted to see the series where he wins and he rules Eternia, but then it's just him like doing paperwork and taxes and being like, this is not as easy.
So what was He-Man's role in this universe? Like, he was there to keep Skeletor
He's
out of his
home?
He's
half human, half Eternian, and which, that is bestiality. Because his mom is Earthling and his dad is Eternian, so... Which is bestiality. Which is also what Superman and Lois Lane is. That's bestiality.
What do you mean bestiality?
They're different species. Well, why are they fucking?
Well, different species aren't beasts. I mean, it's different...
No, but that's what other two species have sex and we're like, all right, that's fine.
A giraffe and an otter.
That's the only example.
No, but I mean, if sentient species, like, you
is
know.
It bestiality if a horse fucks like a donkey?
Yes.
Whoa.
Well, actually, a horse is fucking horse is bestiality.
As long as one beast is involved.
Exactly.
Wow.
Huh.
Huh. We've learned a lot. Do you guys know He-Man?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to catch up if you just do a cursory Googling.
There were a whole race of snake people in there, and I bet they
and I
used
bet
to...
they used to live in Snake Mountain.
Yeah, because they don't always get along with Skeletor, so yeah. I bet that's what it was.
It's gotta be it.
Shit. So are you saying Skeletor is like the Palestinians?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying...
Ooh.
I'm saying he was displaced from a place he previously occupied, and I mean, is it politically controversial?
Baby, tell him what you were saying in the car.
Slamming the steering wheel. It's just like the Palestinians. I guess they share that. Yeah, I'm saying I feel bad for Skeletor. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
He just looks like a bad guy, and that was his only mistake. He's also, speaking of gay, he's straight up gay on that show. Skeletor is a gay man.
How do you mean?
Well, I mean, not to be... The way he literally, first of all, dresses like a gay man who's just learned to be gay from the internet or something. So does He-Man, by the way.
Well,
He-Man
everybody, is straight everybody up on that show.
With like a fur underwear and leather halter top.
He's always surrounding himself by boners, with boners,
yes.
Bones.
All right.
Does he look like... No, I'm going to stick with this. He looks like a skeleton, right, with a hood?
He's got a skull for a head, yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay. But he's like a skeleton who works out because he's super buff.
What are his powers? Is super he just strong?
He has like a stick that
he has a staff
he has a stick.
Glows.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That surprises people, or are there powers?
Yeah, it's a magic stick,
also known as a wand.
It's bigger than a wand. It's a staff. Oh. He's got a staff.
Spencer, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know he has a scuba equipment.
Yeah, skeleton.
Drunk Spencer.
They did that to sell more. They would just have more like mountain climbing He-Man and shit like that.
They did that with Superman. Like Superman used to be able to like be in space, and then for a while he couldn't, so they could sell like the Superman space outfit.
What happened in the last Dungeons and Dragons game?
You went to the Shadow Plane.
and we got the soul of growth.
Oh, yeah. I think you got that the episode before, though. But, yeah, you got the soul of growth.
Our shadows detached, ran off, and a dark...
Wait, what?
We went here last
week.
Yeah, we went... Robin Williams was here.
Fuck you. It feels like this is like a dream you had. All my shadow ran away, and Robin Williams was there.
It's true.
I saw pictures. I was very upset.
So our shadows were detached, and we were in a dark, shadowy plane where a dark version of Coco the horse came up to us, and Aaron was riding on, or what's your name? Mulrain was riding on the horse.
Is it, okay, is the horse, was it a shadow?
A shadow version of Coco. So all,
but 3D?
Yeah,
or is it on the floor?
3D.
Let's just let Drunk Spencer tell us.
Yeah, guys.
Spencer, stop trying to eat the dice.
What?
For the listeners at home, guys. For the listeners at home.
They're colorful.
All right, Spencer.
I really hope you sober up tonight.
I think we
this
all
could be a tragic fine. Ending.
He just kills us off because he's drunk.
Last time on Harmontown, our heroes were divvying up the treasure hoard of Giantis, the Green Dragon, a task that by all means should have taken no longer than a single session. After coming across the goggles of night, Krista Berg, the rogue, put them on, granting him dark vision. With his newly enchanted eyes, the rogue found a portal to another plane deep within the dragon's mystical crack. After some discussion, the heroes plunged through the portal and found themselves in a hazy, dark place, the Shadow Plane. Just then, a mysterious dark sun appeared and animated the shadows of Sharpie, Quark, Mulrain, and Christaberg. The shadows, newly awakened, freed themselves and danced off towards a thicket of ashy black columns. Having lost their shadows, the group was considerably weakened and lost, having just been transported to yet another plane. But just then, the gang was approached by a large, swift, shadowy horse beast. Though silent and slightly off, Mulrain could tell the beast was somehow linked to her companion, Coco, who was last seen on the plane of Twyla. After mounting the shadow creature and planting a flag of sadness into the ground, the gang pressed onward into the stand of Ebon Pillars, hoping to regain their shadows and find their way. But would they truly find what they were looking for in the thicket of Ebon Pillars?
Drunk Spencer!
Still got it.
God damn it.
What is the flag of sadness?
That was, I was listening to Harmontown today, and at some point before you guys departed, Sharpie was like, I sew a blue flag made out of my sadness.
I said that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
and
perfect that it's blue.
Into the ground.
That's a good color for sadness.
The reason you did it was to mark where you had been in case you, you know, got lost or were going in circles.
Oh.
It was pretty brilliant.
All right, so now we're marching off towards the dark columns, right?
Towards the dark columns.
I can
columns.
See.
Yeah, so our shadows
are gone.
Krista Berg, yeah, are gone. We're gonna go regain.
I don't ever use my shadows.
Well,
so
you
I'm
know,
cool
but,
with it.
It turns out we took a lot of vitality points, right? Or what sort of points?
Yeah, that's true. You guys took some ability damage. You're weakened and you feel kind of more ill and sickly, as
so,
it were.
So I just feel kind of shitty because my shadow ran away.
In game terms, you have -1 strength and -4 constitution.
So it's kind of like being hungover.
It's like being.
You'll find out tomorrow.
Poisoned.
All right, so how far...
Don't drink Gatorade. It's a lie.
No, it's bacon sandwiches. The British...
No, don't drink
that is
bacon
the traditional,
sandwiches either.
The British scientist people, that's what they're called, they commissioned a study that actually linked bacon sandwiches to ending hangovers.
And eggs.
But you know fastest hangover cure of all?
Saline
drip.
Oh.
Medical students give each other.
You'd have to be a real loser to have like a saline drip at your house.
They're a real professional.
On the little rolling
I just found
stand.
Out they have vans in Las Vegas that where you can get in and they hook you up to an IV and you can continue gambling while they IV saline into you. And it kills your hangover in like 10 seconds.
Wow.
But it's bad luck.
The van is called a wake-up call.
And I said that to somebody, and their immediate question was, you mean like video gambling, right? And I realized for the first time, the alternative would be that there's a blackjack dealer in there.
That was me. I said that.
That is all right.
Yeah.
Spencer's got it.
I was there, you guys.
All right, so how far off are these columns, Spencer?
You guys are approaching them. Soon you'll be inside of this this entanglement of columns.
Okay, so we walk up to the entanglement of columns.
Yeah, you do.
Stick with me, guys. I can see.
The floor is ashen gray, and the pitch black columns jut out of the ground into the sky, their gnarled and clawed branches grabbing at the black sky above. You can hear an ethereal wind blowing, and far-off whispery voices creep into your ears, telling of misery and madness and languages unknown.
Fuck. So they can't see it, so I'll describe. The columns are, like, intertwined. It looks like they're almost grasping at the sky.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can, Jeff can kind of see them. Quark
you
can
kind of see
them,
right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back me up, bro.
Yeah.
You guys are really
He's pretty much right.
It looks like they're grasping at the sky.
Yeah.
I pretend that I can totally see them. who the fuck do you think? Well, yeah, I know.
Are they grasping at the... How many fingers are there?
What do you mean? They're columns.
How many columns? How many are there?
Sharpie's bluff falls through.
I guess.
Okay, guess.
Five.
Well, you roll to see if it's... Oh.
No, I mean, he guessed correctly in terms of convincing...
All right, you guessed correctly, but it was clearly still a guess. The way you threw up your hand was...
No dice were rolled.
All right, so these columns... Can I go examine the columns?
Yeah, you can.
I examine the columns. Examine the columns.
Their surface is smooth and black. Yeah, and that's what they look like. They seem rather straight, stretching high into the sky, and as noted before, they have gnarled branches.
Gnarled branches, so we could climb these things.
Yeah, definitely.
You're a big climber, huh?
I love to climb.
Do you want to climb?
I love climbing columns.
You hear a soft squish, 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 squish.
Oh, shit. Is it approaching us?
Who knows, man?
I cast light.
Yeah, you do. Your light has an incredibly diminished effect. You can only see about 10 feet ahead of you. You don't make anything out. Squish, squish, squish.
Oh
squish,
God!
Squish.
All right. Well, yeah.
Do I have a torch?
Yeah, you do.
I don't think it's gonna work.
Well,
I think the light shit isn't working.
But if I. All right.
I mean, it like I said before, it would work better than
nothing. I was going to attach a torch to an arrow and then shoot it towards the squishes, but I guess that's a bad idea.
It's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, don't attack.
Well, I do want to attack.
Don't attack the squishes.
I've been living in regret ever since we fought that dragon. Mm-hmm. Remember that dragon came out and said, delicious morsels, and you just fucking started firing at it. Like some dragons will be like, hey, my name is Ralph. Like, let me hang out with you.
Well, I challenge you to be so good at archery and not attack everything.
You know, like almost most of the encounters you guys have had so far have actually had non-combat resolutions that were possible.
Well, there's no way we would know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are you telling us this now?
Because I guess that that's the case.
We disagree and consensus is you're wrong.
All right. I have a good feeling about that fucking dragon.
I think
he would
wrong.
Be our best friend right now.
You were good. You were lucky with the five columns, but what? This
well,
is too much.
I
start climbing up one of the columns.
It's my turn. On Coco, I approach the noise. And it says I have low light vision.
You do. Oh, right, because you're a half elf. I think you're a human.
You are always forgetting I'm half elf.
That sentence has never been said.
I don't see race.
Nice. Cool dude. So I approach.
You don't see anything.
Idea.
You can hear the squishing, but you can't see a thing. In fact, you have the best vision, Christaberg, and you can't see anything making. You can still hear it. It's still. It sounds maybe like it's going around, coming from
like a circle or it's circling around us.
Like you can't tell it's a circle, but definitely different places around you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I start climbing up one of the columns as high as I can go.
You climb it. It feels firm and kind of springy underneath your grasp. It's not cold.
Kind of like a cock.
Once you go giant black ethereal column.
You never go white giant ethereal column.
Placing your fingers around this stiff, rigid object. No, you climb up the black pillar, and you can actually... they're all black, you know, it's all black pillars, but you can see there's something pretty far off that looks like it's not black. It's like a tuft of color
up on the top?
Of, yeah, on the top of a far off pillar. Oh, that so he could see from his vantage.
So I'm on the wrong pillar, but I can see from this column that I can see another one that has a different hue.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, wrong's all relative, but yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry.
In this case, I would say wrong is the right word to use.
Well, what if it was like a trap? And then it would be the right pillar.
Maybe you're on
right,
one of the four
gotcha.
Right pillars.
It's
so,
not a trap.
So how far up am I right now?
You're about 30 feet up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I stay there.
Okay. He conceals his knowledge.
Does he tell us...
He doesn't sound like it.
No, I pass on what I see to everybody else around me.
Can I try and climb up to where the color is?
Yeah, yeah. You're not quite as good as a climber as Quark is, if I'm not mistaken. Do you have a climb skill? You know, on the right bar of your skill chart.
It says no numbers, so that's infinity?
It doesn't say any numbers?
No numbers are there, so yeah, I assume I have all of the climb
points.
It's
infinity, yeah.
All right, well, then I just bound to the top.
I climb down and say, you know what? I see another column over there. What's up there?
You can't see because you have low light vision, right? Not dark vision.
Yeah.
You can only kind of make out like the outline of like maybe it looks kind of like a blob. It doesn't really look like much.
But it's a color.
It's definitely color, and everything's pretty much black and white in this world and gray. So it's kind of you know, contrast.
Hmm. I have levitate. I can levitate.
Why don't you go levitate up toward it?
I shall.
Why don't you, like in Roadhouse, get nipple to nipple with it?
Squish, 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 squish. Casting levitate, right? Right? That's happening?
Yeah.
Okay. You flow. You flowly slowed up into the air.
Flowly slowed up?
It's Foster Brooks.
Ah.
Slowed sounds like a slur against some kind of race.
You go into the
you go into the slowly slow.
You go into the underground chamber.
So you're floating up in the air. You're a good 20 feet, you know, away from the elevation that you'd need to be at. So you continue to ascend.
Okay.
Squish,
yes.
Squish, 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 squish.
I use wild empathy and I ask Coco if she knows what that squishing
noise is. Why wouldn't you ask the squish person? Oh, they're far away.
Or they're not seeable. Like you haven't seen them. Okay, right, Coco doesn't respond. I mentioned in the last session, Shadow Coco can't communicate.
Shadow Coco.
Yeah.
Once you go Shadow Coco.
You never go corporeal Coco.
As the old saying goes. All right, well, what can I do here? I feel like I haven't done anything.
You got traps. You have a bow.
All of these are very aggressive.
That's true.
I want to do... Hey, guys, can we all agree? Let's have a non-conflict resolution.
Yeah, let's find the non-conflict resolution
all right.
of this chapter.
Okay. Let's do this.
I agree.
Awesome.
All right, I yell out to the thing. Have you heard Lady in Red?
Hodo!
What did it say?
Whoa. He said, Hodo!
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Wait, what did he say?
You whisper?
No, I yell. Okay. I yell it out at the top of my impressive lungs.
Holdo.
Sounds like he's saying Holdo. He might be.
I yell out. You can pass if you want.
We should have decided what you should yell before you yelled that.
It's an inversion of the classic "You shall not pass."
Good to know.
Oh, it's a person who can speak.
He's talking to us.
See?
Squish person.
Thanks for the notes, but...
Squish.
Do you
squish,
come
squish,
in peace?
Squish, squish.
I would say... So...
Oh, like thank guys. God. Wait, I clamber down from the column and I walk out into the middle of the middle of the columns, mm-hmm. and I summon the squishy people to me.
Excited, yes.
Okay. Squishy people.
And
that also sounds racist.
The squishy people. Sharpie's still floating up in the air also. You were probably like approaching him. So like you'd get to him first before you would get that like chronologically unless you want to float down to the ground.
Sorry, I don't get that.
You're floating in the air.
Yeah, I know.
You just want to chill?
To the
chillax?
Color thing.
I like it, yeah.
Okay, cool. All
right. You should keep floating on to the color the thing, right? That's where you're going.
Yeah, am I up by the color thing?
You're getting close. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All
right.
That's what I'm saying. You're approaching it, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to...
You make it out. It's actually a person. What is the person like?
Wow, this is getting real racist.
You find a wizened old man sitting up in a tree in very tattered yet shimmering white rags that stand out in stark contrast to the black column he is perched in. Haldo!
Ah! Jesus Christ!
Dear sir...
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Mulrain.
Sweetie.
What?
You're down there.
Yeah, I'm down here. I'm calling up.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Dear sir, I am Mulrain, and
I'm sorry, that's my girlfriend.
and these are my friends. We mean you no harm, obviously. What's your story?
Breffy the Wanderer is my name. I've been wandering for all my life, never sleeping in the same place twice.
Sweeping in the same place twice?
Twice.
I say nothing and just float back down.
I climb up the column to Breffy. Breffy?
Breffy.
Breffy?
Breffy.
Breffy the Wanderer. I climb
I'm
up.
I'm Breffy.
I climb up. I like the sound of this guy, so I climb up the column to talk to him.
How's it going?
I extend a small hand and welcome.
He takes your small hand.
What is a small hand?
I say to him,
don't you have just the hands you have?
I'm small.
You can pick hands.
I'm a small gentleman. I'm a gnome.
He's like a. Oh
he's
God.
About the size of like a 6-year old boy.
He's a little man.
Yeah,
I'm a little guy.
I didn't know this the entire time.
I'm a little guy.
In my head, it was just you, but you don't have a tie.
Now go back and think of me fucking Coco.
It's way better.
Exactly.
That's why you had to stand on the tree stump. Yeah. It's like this is like Fight Club for you. You're going.
No,
back
but and... dude, if I have to fuck a horse at my height, I have to stand on a tree stump.
Yeah.
Just maybe a less widthy one than the one you would have to.
Exactly. Okay, so I say to him, look, our shadows have been taken from us. Do you know anything about this?
You know, I just saw some shadows wandering down not too long ago. Yeah. Listen, I'd love to help you folks, but right now we're being surrounded by phantom fungus.
Phantom fungus.
Phantom fungus!
I summoned Dalton.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. What?
Oh, no. I wish we had a cooler from a notorious Roadhouse bars to come clean up the action.
Yeah, but it's time to not be nice.
Do I have any thing I can use here?
You have traps.
I don't want to. Can I ask him something and he can ask the guy?
Yeah.
Hey.
Quirk.
Quirk!
Yep.
Yep. You can hear me?
Yes, Chris.
I've got strong pipes from my years of touring. Could you ask, what's his name? Breffy? Breffy.
I'm Breffy.
Did he say his name was Breffy?
Breffy the Wanderer.
Could you ask Breffy if the phantom fungus, I mean, they sound like bad guys, but are they good guys or bad guys? And is the phantom also with an F? Two questions.
Okay. Breffy, when you say we're being surrounded by phantom fungus, is that a threat or are they cool?
Phantom funguses are mindless funguses that try to eat people. Also, they're invisible.
And impervious to pluralization.
Breffy.
Oh, God. Breffy. Can you? Did you not ask the F question? Is phantom with an F? Or is also fungus with a PH?
Can you also ask why he's so unaffected? Why he's not afraid?
Are you unafraid because you're standing up on top of the column?
I feel like cue-wise, my question was before. If we're going just in terms of...
I climb down the column, put Christenberg on my back, and climb back up so he can have this conversation with Breffy the Wanderer.
Real quick question, Breffy.
I'm Breffy.
It's gonna... Yeah, I heard that. Now, this seems like it's not going to be, it's not really going to count, but is the phantom with an F, or is the fungus with a PH, or is it spelled like you normally would spell it?
He looks down to the ground for a bit, mulling it over.
I can't spell!
Can you take me back down?
Yes.
Can you
we have a tradition as a group of attacking everything that wants to be friends with us and having... having these Keystone Cops encounters with everything that's just an animal. Like, every time a bear just wants to eat us, we end up, changing pants with each other.
Quirk, can you carry me? me up there ever.
I climb down and drop off Christenberg, pick up Mulrain.
Thanks, bro.
You got it. I'll see you on the flip-flop.
If you'd asked him, is a flip-flop with an F or a PH?
The first flip is with a PF, PF, and the other one's a PH.
Like Pfizer.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And the other one's like fat, but
like a Tuesday, fat Tuesday, or person?
No, like a pH fat, like
a Tuesday,
like a Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay. So then I put Mulrain on my shoulders and I ferry her back up the column to have her ask a question.
That happens.
Hi. Why aren't you afraid?
Well, I'm used to phantom funguses. They come round the ebb and thicket quite often.
Can you tell them it should be fungi, not funguses?
I climb down and I pick up Christenberg.
As Christenberg is, before he goes up, I put a note in his pocket. That's my question.
Okay, sorry.
How about this? I climb down the column. I take out a pad of paper and I have everybody write down their questions.
Mine is happening. Not a question, it's just more of a helpful statement.
As that's happening, okay. Breffy comes down.
Oh, good, thank God.
Oh, shit, we didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. Breffy, what's your secret for dealing with these phantom fungi?
First of all, that is the correct pluralization. I didn't want to be shitty in this sort of moment. It's fungi. That's me as Chris DeBerg talking to Breffy.
You should dodge. You do dodge.
I dodge.
You feel something come within inches of your face, but
I feel something come within inches of my face.
Yeah.
Is this still the black pillar?
So I dodged. I dodged whatever.
No, he dodged. Christenberg.
You got it right in your eye.
That's not so.
That's not so.
All right. Okay. So he's down here.
So Breffy, what the fuck?
We are being attacked right now.
What advice do you have to give us for the phantom fungus?
You get hit in the face.
See?
I dodged.
You feel an invisible presence hit you in the face.
I should have just stayed up on that column.
That's true. You take 6 damage.
Sharpie, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I cast mage armor.
That's a good idea.
On everybody?
Nope. It only works on him. It increases your AC by 4. That makes you harder to hit.
All of us?
Nope, just him.
It's an investment.
I take my rope.
Okay.
And I tie the
end to your feet.
I tie the end like a loop, like a lasso. Mm-hmm. And I get out of the way, everyone! My friends get out of the way, and I start whipping it around in the circle.
Wait, do you have to tell us how long the rope is, so that we're out of the radius of it?
It's 12 feet.
All right, let's go 13 feet, everyone.
I'm covered in column cum.
I'll hold my hand.
Okay.
Oh. Careful, everyone. I'll take care of this. I'm going to detect the phantom creatures with my rope tracker. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I'm watching.
And I start whipping it around in a circle, and everyone thinks I'm doing a good job.
She's doing great at that.
Is rope tracker a thing?
No, it's not. The premise is, if there is an invisible entity in the way, the rope would interact with it.
Would hit it.
So I will know where the phantom fungi are.
But she doesn't have a thing in her sheet that says rope tracker.
She owns a rope. Calling it my rope tracker.
Oh, she's calling.
This is an audible.
That's why I'm laughing. You're making up. You're like a
it's
He-Man.
It's just my rope. I'm naming it. Okay. Like I named Coco. This right, is rope tracker. Rope.
You feel your rope slap against something invisible.
Oh, wow.
Can I use rapid shot and fire an arrow?
No, don't. No. Just fire again. We're going to get out of this without fighting it.
But these are fungi that are going to eat our faces.
Hey, yeah. But look at the name. Fungi, right?
But they attacked us. They're attacking us.
They're funguses.
They?
Yeah.
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 All right, funguses. I take out my poison dagger and I sniff it, which most people don't know gets me slightly high, but also gives me, I can see invisible things.
You wish. That'd be cool. You can believe that's true.
Maybe, can he see where my rope tracker
You can all see where
landed?
It hit. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
So you can see where it hit something.
I hit right there.
Yeah, it did.
I take out my poison dagger.
That's where it hit.
I can't detect sarcasm. And I hurl it at the funguses.
The sarcasm?
No. That is not a constructive thing to use.
He flipped it around.
My poison dagger.
Okay, so you're throwing the poison dagger.
Throw that poison dagger.
Throwing the poison dagger. Okay. Whipping back quickly, you strike. The flying, you fling the poison dagger with great grace and swiftness alacrity.
They're slightly impressed.
Yeah, more than slightly.
They're fucking impressed.
In the place that you think that the phantom fungus must be. It does not hit.
Fuck, can someone go get my dagger?
Spencer, what is weapon focus?
Weapon focus makes you better at hitting with the weapon that you have.
Okay, shit, I should have known that.
Can I still detect, even though I'm covered in the fungus?
You know where the rope hit, whether or not the creature's still there at this point. I mean, maybe.
I don't think the thing is in your face still. I think it just hit you and moved on, right?
Is Mulrain still swinging her rope tracker?
No, you can only do that like once or twice. Like
the way
years.
The rope tracker works, you just do it until it hits something in my head.
What are my goggles of minute seeing?
They can, if you're searching around, you can see things better, you know. Like, almost kind of like if you're like an investigator with a magnifying glass or something.
Would it help with this? Or that this is invisible.
You don't know that it wouldn't. I mean, it'll help you see, and you can't see this.
All right, I put on my goggles of minute seeing, and I take out my far sword, and I use my weapon focus, and I try to do a far sword attack. On the invisible fungus.
Donning the goggles of minute seeing, you can see things minutely in a way that you couldn't before. You can notice the hazy, You can notice the slight difference between shades of gray where footsteps appear to be being made on the floor. Swinging your sword in a wide arc, you unfurl a beam. Not a beam. Fuck everything. What if I just like walked out the back right now? Swinging your sword in a wide arc, a burst of far sword energy launches to where you think the phantom fungus is currently residing.
Currently residing.
Where it files its taxes.
That's a critical hit, you guys.
Critical hit.
Thank you.
It's currently residing. I attacked it at home.
Your sword says resident on it.
You hear a great whoosh as your blast of energy blasts through the clearing that you were kind of in. You hear a flump, flump. You see, materializing before your eyes, two halves of a very disgusting-looking phantom fungus lying on the ground, slain.
Shh, dude, you did it.
I fucking
did
it.
That was amazing.
I fucking did it.
Thank God for that rope tracker.
Hey, you know what fungi hate?
Funguses?
Dryness, heat, light, fireball.
He's dead.
It's dead.
Honey, he's dead. Stop, he's dead.
Oh.
Please, you're just desecrating its corpse now.
I thought there was more than one. I thought it was a fungi, not a fun guy.
No, it's funguses. Like, there's multiple funguses. Like, you're right.
Yeah.
So there's more out there?
One of them's dead, though, totally.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how many more are there?
I don't know, man.
We don't know.
Invisible.
I love how you're...
Do you want to borrow my rope tracker?
Do you want to let me cast
Do you use it
my
so
shit?
Well.
You don't know where to cast it.
Dude, I'm going to aim in the general direction of where... It's a big spell with a big effect, a big area of effect.
Well,
it's a
we'll
fireball.
Don't do it at the one that's already dead. Can we use the rope tracker to figure out where it is and then use the fire? We're all using it.
All right.
It's hot. It's like metrosexual. Remember when we were saying
Mulrain invented rope tracker technology. Let's use it.
All right.
I feel I'm eating a little bit of crow here because I made fun of it, but I'll wait for the rope tracker to tell me where to cast my fireball.
So when you do the rope tracker, we kind of have to like get on our knees, right? You don't have to. You're tiny, but so right. It goes above our heads.
Right, right. And I extend the rope to 25 feet.
That'll make it a bit harder to control.
You're really pushing your new invention to its limits, huh? You remember the first plane was only airborne for like 40-some seconds.
All right. Well, I bring it back 5 feet. So
like a 15?
20.
Yeah. I forgot what I said last time. Okay.
Just making sure.
12. All right. So
20.
12.
12?
12. So it's 17 now.
12. Do 17 feet.
It was 17.
It's a nice prime number.
You guys, the rope tracker wasn't designed for this.
For heavy math. This is heavy math, you guys. This is what heavy math is. Simple subtraction.
All right. I take the rope tracker, and I whirl it above my head.
Uh-huh. I feel like it could use a better name also.
The Adventure Facilitator.
Okay, 17 feet.
I thought I would get a bigger reaction to that. I, it's still the rope tracker. I whirl it around my head.
I'm going to use, like, clock notation. So, you know, your rope strikes an entity at 4 o'clock.
Right. Fireball, so 4 o'clock, when I get a chance.
Okay.
Like when you see an attractive girl at a bar. We're using the same nomenclature.
I don't...
That's what happens at bars.
I've been drunk once.
I've been
drunk more than once. What's happening?
So
4 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Okay. Casting your arms in a magical manner, you conjure up a brilliant orb of fire, although its light is slightly muted in the shadow plane.
Ignamius Infernum!
Launching the sphere of light at where you think the rope tracker identified the phantom fungus. It launches. It strikes the ground right where you thought it would be and explodes into a huge radius of fire. The black columns are consumed in the flames, and although it is a bit dim, you can see they're starting to light up in fire.
Oops.
The charred husk of a phantom fungus falls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoot that poison dagger.
Hey, Breffy.
Oh, yeah, what's Breffy up to?
Hey, guys, I'm Breffy.
Jump in any time.
You lit the forest on fire.
Well, I was pushed to that.
Can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, right, Breffy?
We're going to have to leave unless you want to die of suffocation.
Let's leave.
It's that bad?
Forest fires will kill you, yeah.
Everyone can jump on Shadow Coco, right? We can all
Not
ride.
Everyone. I'd say you could fit...
I called shotgun on Shadow Coco.
Well, I have shotgun.
You can fit one person in Quark. Because Quark's one. Really small, so he doesn't...
Right. I get on the back of Coco.
Yeah. I don't think that's a good idea. It's like you feel like you've been there before.
I can only take one of you.
I can cast Haste and move very fast.
Yeah, you can.
I can move... I was going to say I can move silently, but that won't make a difference to a fire, right?
It certainly wouldn't.
I hide from the fire by closing my eyes.
According to De Niro in Backdraft, it's a living thing.
All right. Well, I try and reason with it then.
You form some compelling arguments, but it's not soaking in.
So is it good to flee these columns? Or is there more to be gained from these columns?
Was anything ever gained from these columns?
The guy, Breffy.
Breffy the Wanderer.
I'm Breffy.
But I mean, if those weren't there, he would have just been standing in roughly the same area, probably.
Oh, okay.
So there's nothing to be gained.
Well, Breffy, where should we... where to?
We should get away from the fire.
Who are you?
Breffy sounds like a character in an old CD-ROM game.
I feel like we should keep him around with
like
us.
Like Oregon Trail? Like.
Yeah.
I'd like to buy 3 pounds of bacon.
I loved Oregon Trail.
Me too. Great game.
So can I also run with these guys? As
oh, yeah. I'd recommend it.
I do it.
Nice. You guys are fleeing the fire.
Can I go and get my dagger?
Yeah. There's enough time for that.
I get my dagger and then I run.
All right, we flee.
Hurriedly fleeing from the fire, you find yourself amidst something I'm going to read.
Sweet.
The fire is far away now, but you're still within the thicket of columns. And as you can see, there are woven between the black shadowy trees, sticky braid-like nets and meshes of shimmering white webbing, which stands out in stark contrast to the dull grays and blacks of the plain. The webbing envelops the entire forest from this point on, blanketing in thick, ropey strands of silk. You can see bubble-like pustules on the webby floor, uh-oh, ominously pulsing, and the path that Breffy has been leading you down is barred by webs and nets strung between the trees. Be careful now. We don't want to disturb any phase spiders.
Yeah, no shit.
What's their name? Phase spiders?
Phase spiders. As
like
in
they attack
phase.
Your face?
As in they phase.
Phase. Oh, not
yeah,
like face
like
spiders.
Phasers.
With a PH. With a PH.
Okay, good. Phase spider sounds scarier.
Yeah.
Phase well, spiders.
Or the face spiders.
Guys, I don't want to be a dick, but I don't like Breffy.
I don't know. He helps us.
What did he help us do?
Can we get rid of Breffy?
He didn't really help us with the fungus.
Is he in earshot of this discussion?
Yeah, he is.
Can we
Unless
whisper?
I guess you could specify.
I take Breffy.
I try and I make a loud sound while you guys discuss it, so he can't hear.
I take Breffy in Roadhouse fashion.
Lady in red. I sing that.
And I take Breffy by the collar, if he has a collar on, and I pin him up against a tree.
Jesus. His collar is vaguely sticky.
Okay, well, then it helps me hold on to him better.
It definitely does, yeah.
And I hold him up against a tree, and I go, listen, Breffy, if you let us into a trap, so help me God, I'll knee you in the nuts, Sam Elliott style.
Does this look as adorable as I think it looks?
That's your guys' call.
You should knee him in the nuts just to be safe.
All right, I'll good cop this. Hey, man, why would lead...
No, Sharpie, stand down!
Why would he lead us into a trap by telling us to be careful for phase spiders?
We left the fire and he took us into a phase spider nest.
Well, we just ran from the fire and he's warning us about this. Like, we just thought this was elegant white silk.
I mean, should we use the rope tracker? Or?
Well, we know where the stuff is. I mean, it's a great invention, but I don't think we need it every step of the way.
Is there a way to get around the phase spider area? I mean, why would we have to walk through this?
Because you're fleeing a fire. I mean, but you could pick your way away from
can
it.
Can I use, is there a magic beast that I could summon that could kind of guide us through this area?
You can summon nature's allies, but they wouldn't be like particularly great at guiding you through because they're from a different plane.
So dead silence. So I shouldn't do that.
I mean, it would if you wanted another ally on your team, it would work. But if you wanted a guide, it wouldn't work.
Can I use a hat of disguise and look like a face spider?
Oh, Jesus!
No, you can only emulate humanoid creatures with the hat of disguise.
Aren't I from this area?
You're from the plane of Twyla, which is a different dimension than the plane of Shadow, but they're related.
So are there...
I think we have to go through this.
You don't have to do anything.
Is it like an alternate dimension, like a Shadow world, so there would be real world counterpart to this area?
Yeah, definitely.
So I do know the terrain a little bit.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, it's different than the plane of Twyla that you remember. So it's not the same. Maybe it's similar a bit, but it's not the same as the plane you're recognizing.
Guys, there's nothing I can do.
So I examine the immediate surroundings right in front of us.
You're like there's the path before you, but it's covered in webs. You'd have to like cut down the webs.
I take out my sword.
That's not a good idea. That's how they find out that something.
Or you could sneak through them. Like, yeah.
Okay,
I think that's better.
I use my ability to my small size and my ability to sneak about. Or you're sneaky too.
Or you could light them on fire.
No, that's when they'll come for us.
Light them on fire.
That didn't work for us like 2 minutes ago.
Well, I mean, I don't
or
know.
You could light yourselves on fire. Well, I'm just throwing out options.
I mean, we're running. The reason we're here is because one fireball like fucking took out a whole forest. I mean, it's kind of like having the U.S. Air Force on our side. We could just defoliate this area.
Anybody out there have any advice for us?
They're basically like drones. Yes, somebody was raising their hand.
Oh, you were just stretching.
I think their advice would be to pause it and Like we should close out the show and address the spider nest next week, right?
Yeah.
Cliffhanger?
Yeah. We got to pick a movie for next week.
Spider nest cliffhanger.
Because I mean, what would happen that we would, you know?
Thank you, Kumail Nanjiani. One more time for Kumail.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Aaron McGaffey.
I.
Jesus Christ.
she just spilled her wine.
She handed me her character sheet and it was kind of soaked with wine. She's.
Sorry.
I didn't get my suit, did it?
I'm just a little clumsy.
I'm supposed to have a baby with you?
What?
I did not.
Say I'm supposed to. Like you're an alien and your overlord was said you must procreate with her. Sorry, I spilled my wine.
Yeah, one day you'll be spilling wine for two.
Think about that, Dan. If you get me pregnant, I won't drink.
Oh, all right.
Well, don't negotiate with terrorists. Aaron McGaffey, everybody. Always make an exit. It's like a crime scene over here. There's fucking red wine everywhere.
Think about it. 9 months in which I'll be absolutely incapable of...
I dare you to get me pregnant.
All right. I think I would like... I'm going to be selfish here and use the Harmontown Movie Club as my own personal movie jukebox and assign a movie that I would like to watch again and discuss next week. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, what else would a bad job be?
Was the person that suggested Roadhouse last week here tonight? Who is that? What's your name?
This young lady here.
Lisette.
Yeah. Lisette, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was delightful. It was a good chance to see a movie I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
But there's a movie I have seen that I think everyone should see, and that whether or not everyone in this audience has seen it again, I think they should see it again. I brought up Zardoz in the green room.
Yes.
I really want
anybody
people to...
By applause, who has not seen Zardoz? By applause. Wow.
Oh, okay. So this is important.
How much do you want to see Sean Connery in fur leggings and diapers?
We won't go into too much detail.
It's a goodie.
Start it earlier than you think you should.
Yeah, don't start this at 11 p.m.
Don't go to the bar with your friends and then go like 8 o'clock, Zardoz, my place, and smoke a joint. Like
have an espresso.
like break it into 2 days maybe, because like the last third of the movie goes very 70s. I mean, the whole thing is insane. The without spoiling anything, the director's commentary on the that I listened to on the at the beginning of the movie is what's the guy's name? John Borman, I think. He says something like, I can't, if this isn't the quote, then it's funnier than this. He says like, "Hello, I'm John Borman. I directed a movie called Zardoz in 19 whatever it is, 79. It took X weeks to shoot. The budget was X million dollars, and I'll be the first to admit it kind of got away from me." It's something like that. If that's not what he precisely says, then what he says is actually even funnier than that. And the movie is. Like,
it's nuts.
More so than Roadhouse, I mean, it's just beyond, because the 70s was a completely different time. Before that shark blew up at the end of Jaws, there was a different era in cinema when like, there was a whole different timeline that might have been where American cinema was just like, it could have been anything. Like, we still thought movies was like a thing that you did that was like kind of half art, half populist pacification. It wasn't like fully just like, hey, you know, everything has to have a... It was weird. Like in the 70s, like a movie could just end with like the hero like going, blowing his own brains out, or like it would just go to black and just credits would roll and silence. Like, you never knew what the fuck was going going to happen at the end of a movie. Zardoz, you don't know what the fuck is going to happen at the beginning of the movie.
I've seen that movie three times. I don't know what that movie's about.
It's a little bit. I mean, there are elements of it that are. That's what's great about it. It's not just a shitty movie that's like like my favorite thing about bad movies is not, because this is what I didn't like about, like, you know, Leprechaun in the Hood and stuff, and like and why I won't even bother to watch Piranha 3D and stuff like that, is like there's a line where the shitty movie is self-aware of its shittiness, and it's like, hey, you'll watch a shitty movie, let's make a shitty movie. And my favorite shitty movies are shitty movies that are trying to be Citizen Kane, and Zardoz really fits the bill. Xanadu is another one, and I think Roadhouse kind of qualifies. It's like, hey, let's blow people's minds with this movie. Zardoz is like let's watch it and we'll talk about it a little bit. It hits on themes of immortality. I know that.
Dan, can we get Lisette up on stage? I want to talk about the ending of Roadhouse.
Okay,
Lisette, would you come up on stage with us, Lisette? Grab a mic, Lisette. Lisette, you're very familiar with the movie Roadhouse, obviously.
Yes, I am.
Can we talk about the ending of that movie?
Yes, what in particular?
When the polar bear falls on the fat guy.
Yeah! Oh, yes, the code of silence, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fat guy is a bad guy, right? And
he keeps
getting his ass kicked throughout the film.
Yes.
And he keeps coming back for more.
Right.
And then he gets... Patrick Swayze hides behind a water buffalo or a yak at some point. And then he's ducking and dodging between Ben Gazzara's stuffed animals.
Right.
And there's a lot of gay threats, and he's going to fuck him in the ass and mount his ass, and there's like this weird thing is going on. And then the fat guy is running around, and then all of a sudden Patrick Swayze, we presume, is pushing a polar bear on wheels toward him. And he puts four or five bullets into the polar bear.
Right.
And it falls down on him, and it seems to kill him. But it just turns out it stuns him, right?
Right.
Okay, take it. You, Lisette.
Well, you want me to do some kind of like analysis?
I want you to tell me what you think the ending of that movie, like explain the end of that movie to me.
Well, towards the end, what's his name, Mr. Waverly?
Yes.
Mr. Waverly is gunned down by the townspeople who he fucked over.
Right. And thrown through a coffee table.
Right.
Because the last act of defenestration, there's so many windows being thrown through.
The last window is the window to the floor.
There's a giant square glass coffee table. It's like,
there's only one piece of plate glass left in this town, and you're going through it.
He's also been shot 11 times. So.
It actually seems as if like he did some kind of acrobatics and like jumped backwards.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. And also they punch a guy, his nose is already bloody first. And so like his nose is already bloody, and the fist comes in, it's like, oh, and it's already the blood. So then, but then the fat guy, when everybody, they gather up the guns at the end, and like, we're going to hide the crime. It's going to be a code of silence.
Right.
And then in the background, the fat guy, who we, a moment ago, was squashed by a giant...
appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, 1.5-ton bear.
Polar bear, by any
but he's kind of like up. He's like, he's in the background, like, oh, he's still got his gun. Like, God damn it.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, so and so, do you know anything? No, I don't. Do you know anything? No, I don't. Do you know anything? All I know is I got hit on by a polar bear.
I got knocked over by a bear. And then they cut to him fucking sharp titties again. Oh, can we talk about Kelly Lynch's boob job a little bit in that movie? Wow. Kelly Lynch, right?
Yeah, Kelly Lynch.
There was some complicated boobs.
I know her as the mom from Curly Sue. That's all I know.
Oh,
her.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a strange, strange set of tits.
Razor sharp. I'm
razor
sure.
sharp. Yeah. 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 You could have put a Swayze's eyes on.
And walleyed, like a clear division between them, like one in each armpit, perfectly round, kind of like.
Right.
I don't know how you describe that. Like yeah, a boob here and a boob there, like headlights, like with
well,
a total grill between them.
Well, I would prefer that she have that versus sand dollar nipples. That would have been not as attractive.
You don't like the sand dollar nipples?
I'm not a fan. No.
You'd rather have the pointy. Like angular, made it carved out of wood tits. those tits were roughly hewn.
They're more. I would say they were more aesthetically pleasing. I think. Yeah. I think for cinematic purposes. I think. Yeah.
What would you say the ideal nipple size diameter would be, Lisette? If you had to pick.
The diameter. Diameter is half a radius or double the radius. I forget. No, it's
double.
Double
the radius.
Yeah. Double the radius. Sorry, math tutor. Duh. I would say no bigger than 2 or 3 centimeters. Maybe no bigger.
2 or 3 centimeters?
Yeah.
Okay. You went metric on us. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go with stuff in our pockets. A quarter or a half dollar?
All right. No bigger. I'd say no bigger than a nickel.
All right.
Depending on how old you are and if or not we're talking pre or post lactation.
Well, isn't it hugely dependent on the breast size?
Not necessarily. No, your nipple expands actually according to how much milk you lactate this is biology speaking.
Why didn't we have you up here earlier?
I mean, if you had a boob the size of a basketball,
maybe if you had.
Couldn't your areola be like, you know, bigger?
Not according to a lot of the porn I've seen, no. No.
We're saying the full areola, nipple being the whole areola, no bigger than a nipple?
No, bigger than a nickel.
Nickel.
Yeah.
A nickel, sorry.
But then again, you have to ask yourself if we're talking pre or post lactation and when, how old is the woman?
But we're talking, I don't know why the question was this, but the question, he was asking, what's the ideal nipple size? Now we've gone into what's the likely nipple size.
I would say ideally, why not? Bigger than a nickel.
You're talking nickel-sized nipples.
Yes.
Areola, all told.
Yeah, why not?
Nickel.
Nickel between, all right, nickel to quarter.
Are you nickel quarter?
What's happening?
I'm really a man, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, take him out.
No, thank you.
Take him out, Lizette.
let's thank Lizette, I think,
Lizette,
for coming up.
Lizette, thank you. Shit. That went to places unknown. Thank you, Lizette. We will table that nipple discussion until next week.
What are you, Howard Stern now? What's happening?
She has such a hard, fast rule on nickel-sized nipples.
I mean, you brought her up. You asked her about nipples. She started answering, and then you're like, get yours out. What did put them out?
I'm a journalist, Dan.
Nipple to nipple.
Yeah, exactly. Roadhouse style.
Yes, 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 everyone. Yes. But be nice until it's time not to be nice.
Exactly.
Whatever. I have no notes. I'm not critiquing anyone. I had a fine time. Thank you for coming to this Harmontown meeting. How do we close the show? What do we do?
All right. Okay, Dan, are you going to try this out?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to end big. We're going to fucking go out swinging here.
This is huge.
Zach said this one's gnarly. Feel it first. Let it come to you.
Yo, yo, yo. Middle East, yo. Bazaar, yo. Yo, yo. Sand Nomad, yo. Yo. 9/11, mother. Yeah. My name's Dan Harmon, motherfucker. I'm gonna fuck your ass like my name was Chris Tucker. Going into the sand dune and fuck a camel. Gonna fuck your mama so hard the tooth enamel came off. I made her cough and my cum came up and went up to the thing. Sing. La 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 la. La 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 la. Stop singing. Whoa, 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 whoa. What'd I do? Stop singing, motherfucker.
Dan, all you have to do is keep rapping as hard as you can. Dance as hard as you can. And make those pants come down, baby. I mean, say, use that in case of emergency, in case the lyrics don't get where you want to go.
I fucked your mama so hard she got on a plane. I fucked your mama, I caused her vagina pain. I fucked your mama, the flotation device got out of the plane and made her feel nice. She took a parachute down to the sea. I fucked your mama for America and you and me. I fucked your mama so hard her thighs started to shake. I fucked your mama like her name was Duke Nukem or Quake. I fucked your mama like a first-person shooter. I fucked your mama in her pussy and her pooter. I fucked your mama in her shoe and her eye. I fucked your mama till the day I die. I've seen the future and I've seen the past. I fucked your mama so hard, she's the first and the last. I love your mama, I'm committed to her. I fucked your mama like I was made of fur. I'm a big, hairy Sean Connery motherfucker. I fucked your mama because my...
Chris Tucker.
Yeah, okay. Give me a chance. I fucked your mama till I lost my pants. Gonna dance up and down till my pants come down around my ankles.
Different song. All right.
Rapping till my pants come down. Rapping till I'm all alone. Rapping
change the pronunciation of words. Rap it till I show you where my turds are made. In my butt. I'm gonna rap till my pants come down a lot. I'm gonna rap till my pants come down. I'm gonna rap. I can't. Thinking of two things and rapping at the same time. Very hard, makes it hard to rhyme. Dancing around till my pants fall down. Only thing you can say is down and rhymes with clown. Fuck your mama so hard as in the sky. I can't do it. All right.
Dan, you just rap. You just rap. I'll take care of the rest.
All right. Just give me a second. Good night. Hope you drove home real safe. Fucked your mama so hard her thighs chafed. Fucked your mama in a restaurant yesterday. Fucked your mama so hard. All right, come on, stop it. We gotta. No, stop it. Don't restart it. We blew it. We can't end the show that way. You've heard of a false start. That's a false stop. Like, we can't. We gotta figure out a different way to end the show.
Why couldn't your pants fall down?
I can't. My pants can fall down, but I can't improvise a rap while I'm making my pants fall down. What do you want from me? Like, what? Neither of us get paid to do the show.
Can you focus on the rap? Just forget about the pants and just focus on the rap.
But I already did. There's only so much. You know, the history has taught us that there's only so much rap in me. You know, once we get into the 8th, 9th, 10th verse, like, it starts to be kind of uncompelling for them. They start to get disappointed and sad and anxious. Like, they start looking for the door. They get a little upset.
Yeah, but this is when
they start to feel held hostage.
But this is when things are exciting.
Like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, like, you know, it takes you to hell, but you know it's going to end. Like, it's not like
Mr.
the
Toad's
cart stops and Mr. Toad goes, okay, well, sorry about taking you to hell. There's something wrong with one of the tires. I'm just going to get out Mr. Toad's Wild Toolbox and try to figure out what's going on. Hold on an indefinite number of minutes. Like, you'd be scared. You'd be feel out of control.
Right.
You wouldn't go on that
wild
ride.
Well, then take us to hell, then, because Mr. Toad's Wild
Ride... We're in hell, and I'm saying I'm getting out my toolbox, and it's not a good wild ride. I'm embarrassed. I want to be a good showman. I want to be a good host.
You are a good showman.
Yo.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody.
Yep.
One more time for Kumail Nanjiani.
Yep.
Aaron McGathy.
Yep.
Spencer Crittenden.
Yep.
Lisette, thank you very much. Aldrin, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Everybody here at Meltdown.
Yep.
I'm Jeff Davis.
Yep. Yep.
Now get ready for the fucking show closing. Show-stopping freestyle rap, pants around his ankles styles of the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Yeah. Show-stopping, gum-stopping, fucked your mama out sweeping and mopping, put rice on the shelf, fucked your mama so hard, I started to belch, fucked your mama now and then, fucked your mama like a hen, she was pecking at the seeds in my balls. Fucked your mama in Niagara Falls. Went in a barrel down her vagina. Fucked your mama in North Carolina. She was on the side of the North and the South. Fucked your mama in her ear.
Mama in the mouth.
Fucked your mama like salt and pepper. Fucked your mama.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.